And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So today I have my good friend Luke with me. We're going to talk about the Thunderbolts, the first couple of minutes and 30 minutes in. We're going to do non-spoilers. Then after that, we're going to focus on nothing but spoilers. So if you haven't seen it, if you don't mind spoilers or anything like that, stick with us. If not, go on ahead and check out the movie, then come back to this video or this recording, and you guys can go on ahead and check out our initial thoughts on the whole entire movie. So with further ado, let's go on ahead, let's review the Thunderbolt. And hey, Luke, welcome back to the show. I do appreciate you coming back on.
Hey, what's up? Glad to be here.
I'm happy to have you back. So my first thing coming out of the gate is this, okay? So as far as your podcast goes and stuff, how's things going with the podcast? How's everything going for the YouTube channel? What new stuff are you working on? It's the way people can go ahead, check out your channel and stuff. And of course, his links will be in the description of this video and also on the recording as well.
Yeah, sure. So the two places people can find me is YouTube and in the podcast world as a whole. And I put all the links like on any of my podcast videos. But so Agents of Mace is a podcast, and we specifically cover Marvel content. So this will be an exciting year because we know like we're getting tons of content from Marvel Studios. Things may be changing next year, so we'll kind of see what happens there. But we just got our website launched, so you can actually go to agentsofmace.com to go to the official website, and from there you can listen to all the episodes and follow us on social and things like that. And then just been focusing on my YouTube channel, still leaning more into reviewing movies, but I'm trying to get into reviewing some more series as well. So like I've been currently watching Your Friends and Neighbors on Apple TV. I've watched like The Pitt on HBO, or watching The Last of Us season 2. I mean, we just finished Daredevil Born Again. So like there's so much fun content to talk about, but yeah, I'm trying to cover it the best that I can. So go check out that for my thoughts on things.
Okay. Yeah. I've been watching the studio on Apple Podcasts and stuff too.
It's on my list. I know I'm behind.
It's great.
Like I've heard it's fantastic. Again, I'm trying to play catch up on so much. It's on my list. I definitely want to check it out soon.
All right. Well, guys, let's go ahead. Let's open up with the non-spoiler stuff. So here's the thing. I didn't see Captain America, the new Captain America movie or anything like that, but I knew there was going to be references in this movie to that film. So I understood where we landed when it came to the impeachment, mm-hmm. and also with the big red Hulk guy and stuff like that, mm-hmm. too, that they were referencing. And we also understand, too, that this is actually the big bad woman that's getting impeached because of the events that happened in Captain America. Mm-hmm. Am I right or wrong on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, her character spans multiple things, right? Like, she's been part of the Disney Plus series. She has made appearances in the movies. I feel like her character has been one more so to try to bridge these two together. And we can go more into her character a little bit later on. Cause I think there's some things there that are missing for sure, but essentially, yeah, like we at least know where this falls in line with Brave New World.
Okay. My thing that I liked about this was everybody is dealing with their own trauma in their own way within this show, this movie itself. And that's one thing I have to say that they did a fantastic job with, is the fact that with the trauma and the opening scene where you have Black Widow's sister still going through the emotions of losing her sister. And also, too, where does she belong in this world, in this society and stuff, too? And she's just bored with just doing the same old thing again. She's also questioning her own self and her own insecurities with it. And I like how the fact that, you know, she's just trying to figure out who she is as a person. And just wants to get out of doing this whole entire assassin thing, because it's not what it used to be. It's not something that she is enjoying anymore like she used to. And, you know, everybody else has their own stuff that they're going through in their own heads in this movie. And I love the psychological aspect of it. And this also has very Inception kind of vibes to it, especially in the film itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the whole point of, like, the void, you know. We kind of... it's expected that from the trailer of what this was going to be, and the void does make such a big integral part of it. And I thought the way they handled the void with the subject matter was quite well, with the movie dealing with trauma, loneliness, depression. I felt like this being a, you know, an anti-hero superhero movie handled it very well, probably better than a lot of other things that I've seen. And such a fascinating way to close out a whole phase, because we also are in this weird state where we haven't had a big villain for quite some time, really since Endgame, right? We were expecting it to be Kang, and that kind of all fell through, because at this point, going through the bulk of Phase 5 without having any major threat to Earth has not forced any of these superheroes to really band together, right? They're all kind of out doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of tough to talk about, because you said you have not watched Brave New World yet, correct?
No, I haven't, because it was just one of those things like, I'm like, okay, I'm good. I'll just go on ahead, skip that one, because this is the one that I'm most excited about.
Yeah.
Because it was just something interesting to see Marvel do like a Suicide Squad type movie.
Yeah.
And seeing how it delivers, because here's the thing. If you look at the slate of movies with Marvel movies recently, it hasn't been good, especially out of this phase that we have. So to see them come back with this and doing their own spin of like a Suicide Squad type of movie, I was definitely interested. You have these anti-heroes who's trying to prove something to everybody. And they're also trying to prove stuff to us as an audience as well. Not just the characters within the movie itself, but they're also trying to prove something to us as a viewer. It's like, look, we understand that all these phases are crap. This phase five is crap because of the whole entire deal of doing all these universes and stuff that we're doing within it. And it's just not working. We get it. But come on, we're going to give you this adventure with Bucky. We're going to give you everything that you liked about Black Widow in this movie and have these people that are not supposed to fit in with anything and make you care about them. And even the John Walker stuff, I didn't like his character in Falcon Winter Soldier. I called him like Party City Captain America at that time. Right. And it made me care about him because of all the events that happened, and made me look at his character more and makes us feel for him. Sure. And the same thing with Ghost as well, because I thought that she was one layer coming into Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah.
So just seeing them focus on these other characters that didn't really have any structure to begin with and make us care about them, that's what I like.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Well, I will say, I really liked Brave New World. It as well. Like, I think Brave New World and Thunderbolts both give you this more grounded approach of like street level, what's going on. These, you know, even with Brave New World, it's kind of like, yeah, they're heroes, but they're still kind of in the state of like, what do you want us to do? Like, we still don't really know like where we're gonna fit in. Because it's a similar thing. It's like, we're just going day by day, task by task, right? I gotta go stop this criminal. I gotta go stop that criminal, whatever, you know? It's just clearly different approaches, right? Because you have more of the heroes that are doing it for the good, whereas here, these aren't really the best of people. And, you know, and a lot of it just stems from, like, leadership. Leadership is such a critical part in both of them, you know? Which we'll get into. But yeah, for sure, like, you know, solid points. Like, this definitely was more of the Suicide Squad, which when it comes to like those movies, I'm not the biggest fan. I almost would say like this does a better job at being like a Suicide Squad than those. And going into like Walker, you know, this is one of the struggles I have with these movies, is like I have a connection with them because I've seen Falcon Winter Soldier. But how many people going to see this have completely skipped out on all of these series?
Right.
If they skipped out on these series, it's hard for them to really connect, because they're going to be like, who is this guy? Like, why is he here? Like, where have I seen him in another movie? And like, you know, it's hard for them to really relate with these people and what
that connection. Like, we
did. Just have. Yeah, exactly.
As a matter of fact, I actually had this conversation with my wife. She's like, who's that? I'm like, so I had to explain after we got out of the theater. I've given like a Marvel MCU 101 of things, because here's the thing. She's an average moviegoer. She doesn't really do what we do. Mm-hmm. So she just goes in, sees a Marvel movie. If she enjoys it, she enjoys it, and that's it.
Yeah.
And all so I had to go in and explain to her, look, Bucky was someone from Captain America Part 1. Mm-hmm. Then he gets reintroduced to us in Winter Soldier. He winds up becoming an assassin. He winds up becoming a tortured. He was part of Hydra. I explained all that stuff to her. Mm-hmm. Then with the whole entire John Walker thing, I had explained that part to her because that connects him with the TV series. Yeah. So it's a lot of explaining, especially if you're not in tune with what Marvel is doing. And you actually, and that's one thing that I think Kevin Feige said, oh no, you don't have to go in and see anything. I'm like, no, you do have to see something.
Yeah.
And I figured the best. Go ahead.
All you get in the movies is like one line. They'll throw in one joke or something that acts as that bridge. But even that alone is not enough.
No, it's not enough context into who these characters are to make people have that connection with these characters. And, you know, another thing that I feel like that with what they're doing is, in order for you to watch this movie, I feel like you need to have Black Widow. You need to watch Black Widow for this one, for us to care about David Harbour, to care about everything that Florence Pugh is doing. So you watch that. Then you can watch Falcon and the Winter Soldier if you have time. And then you can also watch Winter Soldier, the first Captain America movie, then Winter Soldier. And then you're pretty much caught up at that point to where you can watch.
Brave New World would help with some other things as well.
Okay. I might have to, like I said, I'm going to have to watch that one and then go back and watch this.
Yeah, but I mean, not as much as you think, but there are some character developments that will carry over into this one.
I'm gonna check it out. There's also this other thing that I like though too with Florence Pugh, Yelena. You actually get to see more of her actually being who she is.
Yeah.
And you actually believe it this time versus the time that we get introduced to her character in what's the show I'm thinking of? The movie Black Widow. I found her more believable this go round because of how she is in this one, and we are actually being able to relate to her a little bit with the trauma and stuff like that too. So I like that, what they're doing with that. But yeah, it makes me want to care about her character even more and being more fleshed out. And then you also have Lewis Pellman's villain as well, with the origin story of what if Captain America's style serum was used to unstable former meth addict with bipolar disorder instead of a guy like Steve Rogers. So you're pulling on different levels here of a guy who has bipolar, bipolar and everything, and about how he would react if he had a serum like Steve Rogers. So I like how they're playing with that a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah. Also remember, Yelena was in Hawkeye, so
yeah, for a brief moment.
But you know, she's carried over from movies to series.
But I also like David Harbour in this as well, playing the Soviet Captain America for his country, and him doing the Russian accent is perfect. I really like how he's doing it. The limo service thing that he has is hilarious, though, too, in this. I really feel like I care about every single character. And you're wondering, too, if they're even going to make this out alive. Because, you know, I just feel like there was this danger moment with all these characters.
Sure. Yeah, the situations they get in, you know, if they were, like, true metahumans, like, it'd be a breeze, right? They could fly out of a situation or, you know, not have to worry about bullets, but you know, they make it a point, and they do it in such a good manner of like, what can we do? What can you do? Punch and shoot. Like, that's about it.
Right. Because these are street level characters. And that's what I like too, is like, I was like, well, I wish they would go back to doing street level stuff. I said, they are setting that up. As if you watch Daredevil Born Again, you have street level characters on that. Now you're having street level characters in this. And I'm hearing rumors, too, that Spider-Man is also going to be part of that street-level type of stuff, too, coming into the new movie. So I'm glad that they're doing a street-level Spider-Man, because I feel like that's what you need to focus on. We've been so focused on other things aside from that, and it's just good to see a whole entire turnaround now.
Right. Yeah. It's a nice change for sure.
But what else do you have to say as far as like non-spoilers go for this?
You know, it's really like it's an emotional watch, or at least it was for me. I think the subject matter is such an integral part. It's hard not to talk about that in some way because I've seen a lot of mixed reactions on that. And it's one of these like my kids are so into like superheroes, but this movie leans so much on a darker tone. I just don't know if they would like be old enough to watch this one yet. I think the matter itself is important, and you know there's so many points or you know moments in this movie that to me it felt like it had to be a personal ride. It had to be something so the director or someone that worked on this was going through the way it was just shot and told. But yeah, I mean it's just like a wild way to close out phase five to be like it's almost like a Debbie Downer film if you think about it in a way. But you know, I think and again we'll get more until we get the spoilers, but like having this random group of people just end up being together and having to like share, like, you know, they're all sharing trauma essentially, right? They're all going through things where they've been through things. But for them to just push past that and realize, like, we just got to be a team to push our way out of this and figure out what's going on, like, it was like, it just makes it for a very fun watch.
It does, because you're wondering too, like, how are these characters going to get along with each other? How is this going to work for them? With the trauma too of everyone, and then also too, you have Bob coming into the mix of it, adding in more stuff to where they're having to force their way into facing their trauma by the end of this film too. So I definitely enjoyed that because it's like, don't let your past dictate who you are, kind of thing as well. And it's a deep movie. I'm gonna be honest with you. It is a deeper movie than went most. It does have like a Debbie Downer kind of thing vibe, like you said, in a way. It does have some humor in it, but it's not overused. I'm glad it's not too jokey. I'm glad that this feels more like a political movie in a sense as well. So I like the fact that we have this Tom Clancy kind of vibe with it, because I feel like now we're back on that same level as a Winter Soldier type of show of movie. And that's something that I feel like that's been missing as far as that goes. And then you actually know how to hit the jokes when they need to land the jokes. And it's not where you're having a fist fight with somebody. It's like, hey, are we still on for dinner? Yeah, we're still on for dinner. I'm glad that they don't have that kind of humor in it. And it's a real serious tone versus it being comedy in it and having and there's moments in it. Yeah. But it's not like a singing planet. It's not like having all these other moments of it. The characters are who they are.
Yeah, it's nothing like going down like a Thor Love and Thunder approach that's just like this over the top comedy mess. These things are played well. Yeah, I mean that's all the positives. I think you know, I can see the negatives of this, especially with like other critics and some things they pointed out. Just the lack of like where these characters go in the movie. It does give it a weird pacing to where it does feel like I feel like we're missing a chunk, like something's missing from this. And I think some of that is just like from my perspective, it's like with certain characters and what I know of them and what I've seen and what we get in this, it's just like, man, there's so many stories we're missing out on. It feels like it's hard to see this as the end of phase five because I'm like, man, we need like a series on this person, or we need like one more movie to really like give us these missing stories to build out where these characters are right now even more to make it feel like a more satisfying conclusion of phase five. Because it does feel like when this thing ends, it's just kind of like it is kind of like what was phase five? It's really like you're left kind of thinking like, what did we just go through to get here?
It's like having an ADHD moment of writing where everything's all over the place and it's not really solely focused on something, you know? And with Taskmaster, I was excited about her being back in it, but I also knew she wasn't going to be in it very long. But I feel like that you could have done more with her and more to get her fleshed out more.
Yeah.
But then again, was she even in the last Captain America movie, though?
In Brave New World?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Okay, then I rest my case on that part. Then they should have just gone ahead and fleshed her out in a couple of more appearances or something to make us care about her even more when she does get killed.
Yeah, so are we getting into spoilers then?
Well, I let it slip on an accident. I have a big mouth sometimes. But we're getting close to the 30-minute marker, not yet. But, you know, but I didn't say how she got killed. But still, she gets
sure, by, sure.
But still, though, it made me feel like, okay, that she's gone. Cool. All right. Because
I think Taskmaster is supposed
to be, right, because Taskmaster is supposed to be this badass woman. Mm. Who can basically mimic other people's movements and stuff like that. And you don't really get a sense of any of that in any of the introductions to her at all when you see her.
Yeah.
So she's like a watered down version of Taskmaster.
Exactly.
So
yeah, I kind of felt that with most of the marketing material that we've been given. I was kind of known. I will say, like, in regards with this movie and just social media, it wasn't until after the movie released that I started seeing spoilers. Like, people that got to see this movie early, critics and other fans, kept everything pretty tight, which I was glad with, you know.
Me too.
There was like a, you know, it wasn't until like post this releasing certain fight scenes would be leaked out. You know, there was like there's probably one thing I saw before seeing this movie related to a character getting off pretty early. And I was like, okay, that's probably who it's going to be. It's like, yeah. So it wasn't like, to me, I guess it wasn't anything that major.
I agree. I mean, I just wanted to be able to care about certain characters that did get wasted.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And it's just like, okay. Basically, I have no emotional attachment to any of them, and once they gets killed off,
sure.
So
yeah, and like Taskmaster, I just hate what they've done with this character, because like I know on the podcast, like Drew's hyped this character up so much, and then what we get in the movies just is nothing, right? It's like the character's barely there. There's no real development. It's like even if all of these characters, lasted together through the entire movie, how would, like, I just don't know Taskmaster well enough to know how they would fit in with this group, right?
Well, I think he could fit into it because of the fact that he is a street level person,
mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that he can mimic all these characters' movements and knows how to basically knows their moves and stuff. So you can basically have this kind of OP character, but also kind of dub him down just a little bit. But still, you need to show the fact that he can do that.
Right.
And it's hard to do that when we only seen small appearances here and there. And I never really feel like there was a threat with Taskmaster. Like I wanted to. And I was overhyped with it. I mean, as soon as I found out that Taskmaster was going to be in a movie, I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be awesome. We're going to see all this stuff happening. And it's like, nah, we're not going to do that.
Well, but didn't this character die already? That was the other confusion part. We're like, wait, I thought this character was dead.
Me too. I thought the character had died as well, because in Black Widow.
Exactly. And it's like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, these are things like where clearly stories are missing. Like, if you're bringing this character in and they survived from Black Widow, then why didn't this character get a TV series or a movie to kind of lead up to this moment?
To counterbalance it, the continuity within the movie itself.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know why they did it that way, because it felt like it was also all over the place with that as well. Mm-hmm. But I understand that you need these people to work together, but you had enough without having to introduce Taskmaster again. They could all be over there for the same reason of, I need to destroy something in order for us to become together.
Yeah.
You don't need to have an assassin trying to take out somebody else.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, honestly, if you remove Taskmaster from the one moment we get them in, it wouldn't have changed anything.
Right. It
They,
wouldn't change the
you know,
outcome.
yeah, exactly.
But, you know, but I feel like the movie works on a lot of levels. It's funny for one thing with a great blend of humor. And then, like I said, David Arbor's over the top Red Guardian stuff is great. Yelena Azrick wit. The chemistry between Poe and Harbor is really good. Russell and Pullman is generally great. And then you have Sebastian Stan, and I want to mention this. Sebastian Stan, I love the growth that he has within every single thing he does with this with Marvel, with his character. I really love I love his character a lot. I think that they did really good job of establishing him and also too making us care about him. And I just like the fact now he's into the political stuff. He's in there, and he's also trying to discover who he is and trying to figure things out too. So I really like, I also like the whole entire bike scene that we get, the motorcycle, the action sequences were really quick. You got to see everything. There was no shaky cam. I also like the part where he makes the motorcycle stand up on its front end and stuff on that. I thought the stunt work was really good. The fight choreography was really well done.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, they did such a solid job, and you know, just with Bucky's character, it's one of those few that we're getting that's carried over into so many different projects, which is great. I mean, that's my other like nitpicky thing is we're not getting a whole lot of time with him in this political as this political figure, this you know, congressman. And so that's like another story I would love to see is like, but I'm like such a fan of like political based series and movies. I could sit down and watch like an 8 to 10 episode of Bucky being more of a congressman and doing stuff like that. You know, I'm sure like most of the fans want more superhero stuff, but even if they would put out like a, you know, a special short or a special project that's more along like the political side of things, at least with like with Valentina, Bucky, and some other characters, like I think it would have done a great job. I think the other fun things that we, you know, you kind of get glimpses of, but if you've seen like the What If series, there is an episode that's based around Red Guardian and the Winter Soldier, and it's almost like a buddy cop type thing, you know, they're like on a road trip and just going through all these crazy things. So just having like a live action moments with them together, like you can see like how Red Guardian is such a fan, and it's almost like, man, now just take these two characters and do what you did in What If, but bring it to like a live action movie, like would be pretty great.
That would be pretty cool. I would like love to see it, but you know, another thing too is that you brought up was like the whole political drama stuff too. Here's the thing: I love seeing the lawyer stuff in Daredevil Born Again, and which is something I wanted to see was like a Law and Order mixed in with Daredevil. And now I want to see the political stuff within the stuff that Bucky has to face. I mean, like part of me was like, okay, does he have to cover up all the stuff that people with superpowers are doing to protect them, even though we might have to turn them in. I mean, my mind was going all over the place as far as what his job was and his entire and title was. So I wish that they would have established who he what he's doing and stuff, and is he protecting anybody? But it just seems like he was just kind of there, just a happy wanderer going through this whole entire political thing, you know, kind of like a floater.
Man, yeah, we can't go too deep into that without spoiling some other stuff, but
Well, we're
I
about to
agree, yeah.
spoil it right now, though, because we're getting into the 30-minute marker.
Well, I mean, this is going to spoil other movies that you haven't seen.
Well, I've seen the only movie I haven't seen, believe it or not, is just the Captain America one. I've seen everything else. But yeah, because I was like, you know what? I'll catch that one on streaming or something for the Captain America one. This one was the one that was like, okay, this is going to be the one that gets me in to the theater to go see because of the fact that what I mentioned with the whole entire political stuff within it. And then also too, Bucky's back. You have all these this Suicide Squad together, but on Marvel level. So that's what I was mostly ready for. But Let's talk about some spoilers, though, man. So as far as spoilers go, what do you want to talk about?
Well, we could save the post-credit stuff to the end.
Right.
Man, this gets so challenging because there's certain things. It's all based off of like Brave New World. That's what gets challenged. That's why I'm kind of like hesitant because.
Well, I'm okay with you spoiling it for me because it will actually help me to enhance the experience of this movie. And then also going into it next time whenever I go see Brave New World, whenever I get a chance to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess what we can get into is probably with Valentina Allegra de Fontaine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was a character, especially like what, you know, we bring her up quite a bit on the podcast. So we've always been very curious of like what her role is within all of this. And we essentially kind of get most of those answers here. This is another character where my nitpicky side is like, man, I needed one more project with her, specifically on her, to really build out like what she's been up to. Which is essentially, you know, we're in this world now where, and also we gotta like the fact that we're like in New York City and these, you know, this crew is walking around with everyday people and they're just like, whatever, you know? So it builds up this world that like superheroes, anti-heroes, metahumans, whatever you want to call them, are just kind of like the knowns. People are just going to go day to day and live their lives. And if things happen, they almost like expect like these heroes are going to show up and save the day. And like, you know, yes, it causes chaos and trauma as well and everything, but everyone just kind of like cheering them on. But going back to my point earlier, like we haven't really had a big bad. Iron Man's dead. You know, there's right. No one as a true defender of the world. You know, like Captain America, like Steve Rogers is dead. Iron Man is dead. So many people.
Well, he retired. Steve retired, you know, right?
Or retired or whatever. Right. He's living on the moon, like, isn't he? Like, he's still around. He's just living on the moon. So, I mean, so now we know that, like, DeFontaine, she's basically been trying to cook up her own serum to create her own team of superheroes. And that's what, like, her whole mission has been, is, like, trying to crack that code and essentially build her own army. But again, going into more of the political side, she wants an army that she has full control over. It always comes down to control. You do what I say. I tell you to go do this, you're going to go do that. I tell you to go blow up this building, you go blow up that building.
Kind of like Homelander and stuff. That's what I got.
There's a lot of moments where I'm just like, okay, so yeah, exactly. You're basically building a Homelander or wanting to. Right. Even when you look into Sentry as a character and like the look and feel of Sentry, it has a Homelander vibe to it for sure. So it's quite fascinating to kind of get that side of her story. And, you know, the first half of this movie is more of like that political cover up, right? Like things did not go according to plan. So I've got to eliminate all of the evidence, which includes all of these anti-heroes that I've recruited. Because as average viewers that have seen this character, that's essentially what she's done. She's gone and find these people to try to like pull them into her little circle of like, I can keep you employed. I can keep you busy, try to get you under my control. And, you know, trying to eliminate her own threats of like realizing what she's doing to take over.
Exactly. And this is also another thing I wanted to bring up too, that you mentioned that, but you know, just setting up them, but she's also the one who was responsible for setting up John Walker and making John Walker. Cause she's like, okay, well, that was pretty much a crap fest with John because of the things and the events that he's went through and stuff, and Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So therefore I have to go ahead and recreate something that I made. And now I have to destroy the thing that I made to make something better than what I have. Mm-hmm. So I like that whole entire thing of like, it's kind of like Dr. Frankenstein. If you think about it, it's like, I got to go ahead and make something to make a super soldier out of somebody. He does it and it doesn't work. So it's like, okay, well, I got to reboot the whole entire thing now because it's not working. So I definitely like that outlook of like a Dr. Frankenstein, but more of a political side of it working within that. And then you also have the assassin that she hires. Then she hires another assassin to take out somebody to do a double cross, which you don't really need. You don't need, like we said, the Taskmaster. But yeah. She wasn't counting on one of her other side projects to come alive.
Yeah.
And, you know, John was actually responsible for that in a sense.
Yeah.
As well.
Right. Yeah, it makes you think of like, so one, she didn't even know that Bob right. was in there. That was completely oblivious to her. So it just shows like how little control she really has of that. Those kind of things are slipping by her. It almost makes you wonder as well of like, what if Bob did not get like his little crate did not open up and they still like blow up that place, you know, would he have survived? And like, how would that have impacted the movie as a whole? If like, would that have like, because you can almost look at this as like, you know, is it a super serum? Is it part mutation as well? Because like mutants are a part of this world that we know. We're kind of slowly creeping into that. So, you know, so much of this is him.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Kind of discovering his capabilities, but would that have jump-started it right away? And would he have gone immediately into like this Void character? And could that have changed like a big outcome of the movie? I don't know. But I like what they did with him. I thought it was funny. Like, this is like the second time Lewis Pullman has played a character named Bob. I almost feel like they need to like, he needs to join a third movie and close it out as like the Bob trilogy.
That's true. It's kind of like Hector from the Fast and the Furious. Like the guy has all he plays is Hector. So therefore now we have everybody. All he does is play Bob.
Yeah. I saw like a post where he actually was pushing on them to change the character's name. So he's like, I'm already Bob. I'm Bob in Top Gun. Like, I don't want to be Bob again.
I don't blame the guy. I mean, I don't want to be typecast as a certain character named Bob.
Yeah.
Or anything. Yeah. I want something different. Give me a different name. So I don't blame him for wanting to change the name up at all, because it's the creativity around the character that he's trying to give layers to. And it's hard to give layers to something that he's played the same name for three or four different movies, for example. So I totally understand it.
Yeah, but I just see like Ryan Reynolds is going to lean into that if Deadpool ever gets pulled.
I would love to see that. I would love to see
crew.
So what Bob are you?
Exactly, yeah.
Let's see. But I do like the fact that, you know, you have his character who doesn't know what's going on with himself.
Sure, and then, he's so lost. And, you know, we're stuck in this, like, off-the-grid tower that, like, buries deep into a mountain. We were there, like, way longer than I was expecting.
Me too.
For this movie. But the whole, like, moments where they're trying to figure out how to escape and, like, the time crunch that they're under, but just the fact that they're not really thinking things through at all, and they just get in these weird predicaments where it's like, all right, what do we do next? Like, you know, like, we didn't really think this through. Like, one person's gonna have to do this, and what happens to the rest of us? Like, we're essentially like, no one can fly, so we're all gonna die.
Because John even tries jumping really high and then comes back crashing back down, and then Bob's like, I got an idea, and it's them. It kind of reminds me of Star Wars, and right with the
they're just like, you gotta go back to back and just work your way up. I want to know, like, because I totally forgot, like, oh yeah, Walker's got the super serum. Like, how high did he jump? Or, like, high? Like, they got to be way down. Like, there's no telling how massive this space was. But it's also, like, what are on all the other floors? Are there multiple floors? Or is it literally just the top level and all the way down below Earth, right? Below
I don't think there's like other offices or anything like that. I think it's just one straight shot, like a beehive.
Yeah, it must be. It must be. But then this is just what my brain thinks about, because we talk about this on the podcast as well, is like, who funds all this? Where, like, that's the other part of like Defontaine's character. It's like she has all of these resources. She basically bought up the Avengers Tower. Like, she's has access to this place off the grid. It seems like she's got zero issue getting anything done. But who's funding all that? Where is that coming from?
Us.
It's like, is that just like everyday taxpayer money is basically funding these, you know, metahuman projects? Because like buying up the Avengers Tower is pretty insane.
I like the fact that we actually get to see the Avengers Tower.
Yeah.
And then even the exhibit for the Avengers Tower was actually pretty cool too. Like seeing the A there, and then you have this whole entire other thing, like for tourists with these characters and the Easter eggs. I was really geeking out in my chair watching this, because I'm like, okay, I know this is from this movie, this is from that, this is from that. Then you have the Loki staff from the very first Avengers movie that they're having in there. I thought it was perfect. It was like a perfect showcase of all these events that happened and all the other phases. And now here we are in this phase.
I know. And it's like, you almost think Yelena would be like, all right, where was my sister's room? Because she's going to have all the guns and things that I need.
Kind of like a Demolition Man kind of thing, where Wesley Snipes is looking for weapons, right? Where it's like, I got to find all the weapons that I have.
Yeah. Like, surely there was. Surely there was another shield laying around that Walker could have picked up.
Right. His looked like a bent up taco when by the time that he got done with it.
Yeah. But even makes that joke. Like, it's just, I guess we can go into Sentry, because we haven't really talked about Bob much or Sentry. So this is a character I'm not that familiar with from a comic level. From what I understand, you know, this, you know, Sentry and the Void are kind of like these two. It's essentially like the light and the dark, right? It's like you have this hero version and this villain version that are the same person. It's just what takes over and what could happen, right?
Right.
I really liked how they approached the Void and how they used the Void. Very leaning into like art in a way that said like there's such like a dark art approach, I don't know how else to describe it, that you see in this movie. And even I think that was discussed with the director on how they wanted to use the Void. This, it's funny when we get to this level of superheroes, right? Because like we've talked about like this being such like Homelander in a way, but you know, Defontaine's kind of pointing this out, like the whole point of Sentry was like, I wanted to take all of the Avengers and combine them. Like this, like the Sentry is stronger than all of the Avengers combined. Right, and
put them all into one combined capsule.
Exactly. But and then it's like, did you watch Secret Invasion?
Yeah, I watched the Secret Invasion show.
Yeah. So it's like essentially a similar thing there at the end, right? It's taking, you know, they're taking the DNA from all these metahumans. And then, you know, you have all of them within like these scrolls at the end, where it just feels more this anime over the top approach at like these beings that are so powerful. It's like, could Captain Marvel defeat them? Because even if, you know, looking at like the Infinity Saga, like Captain Marvel is kind of like the peak, right? Like she was just, I mean, outside of like maybe Scarlet Witch, is like the strongest heroes that we've had. It does bother me when we get to this like comically insane level of heroes that are basically invincible, like gods essentially, right?
Right.
And like, how do we capture that on screen, and like, how do we go against them? So I was a little worried about that with Sentry, but all in all, I think with what they did with Sentry and the fight moments was fun. I mean, it does have like a super or like a Superman-esque to it, right? I mean, he's like a man with a cape that essentially could do all the things like Superman could do. There was a moment though when like he grabs Defontaine and like flies her up against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, there's no way she would have lived through that. The speed he was going, unless he like unless they're like he's slowing it down enough, but that would have broke her spine, right?
Right, because of the fact that of how much of a super, so how much of his strength that he actually has.
Yeah,
but he could have just dubbed it down to where it's more threatening for her, where
right.
he's not hurting her enough. Because I like how he puts it like this. He's like, "You said I'm a god, right? So if I'm a god, then why do I have to do everything you tell me to do? If I'm a god." Yeah. And then he goes into being the void whenever he gets tased, Yula, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I felt more afraid in this movie than I did in Doctor Strange in the multiverse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that, for me, this actually feels more like a horror movie.
Yeah.
Being this godlike being, taking out all these other humans.
Yeah.
Versus Doctor Strange, where it was directed by a horror director. Right. And it doesn't even feel like a horror movie, to be honest. And this actually feels like a horror movie to me. It's like, okay, how are these average people who are just have super strength supposed to take down someone like him?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I was going through in my mind. I'm like, how do they take this being down? That just and cool. So that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I mean, this is when things get kind of like, what's the big picture here, where they're going, right? Because we're in New York City. We know the timeline. We know where this takes place. We know who's around. Why are they not stepping in? It's like, you know, Doctor Strange is there. We know Spider-Man's there. We know Daredevil's there, right? And that's the whole other thing that I'm looking at, which is so fascinating. When you look at the political side of things, we know what Kingpin's objective is. He's so anti-vigilante. He's built his task force. He wants to take them down. But then you have DeFontaine, who wants like superheroes, right? And so, like, where does Kingpin and her character come into play, right?
Right.
Like, they seem to be on opposite ends, especially because they're both like a little bit more of the political figures now, and they seem to have completely opposite objectives. But it's like you have this major event again in New York, right? You got to think back in Avengers, they had the aliens attacking New York City. All these people have like been through that. And now we're going through this other event where the void is essentially like, it's not like he's killing these people, but he's moving them all into the, it's like a whole nother blip event, right? Except these people are basically getting put into the darkest trauma that they've been through.
Exactly. Right. Being haunted and by their own past. Right.
So it's like, okay, Daredevil Born Again's over. Now this happened. So next year when we get Daredevil Born Again season 2, is this gonna get brought up? Like that's what I'm curious about. Like, are the events from the series and the movies going to intertwine in some way? Because I think Feige has tried to say, like, I think he said no. I think they're supposed to, he wants to keep them separate, but it's hard to like sit here and watch this knowing like all of these characters are in the city and something like this happens. It's got to be brought up again, right?
Right. But I know, like, Sony owns the rights to Daredevil, not Daredevil, but Spider-Man.
But Spider-Man, yeah. I mean, Sony,
and so that's does. Right. That's what Sony, makes it more complicated.
From that perspective, yeah, but I know like Sony and Marvel, they'll find a financial ground to meet to kind of make some things work. But yeah, it is it's like the unfortunate thing of like, man, like this felt like a blip style event, even though it was brief, right? You know,
right? Again, it did feel like a blip because I was actually thinking that too. But you're right though too; they're also being haunted by their darkest past that you can think of. But yeah. I want to piggyback off of something that you mentioned with the whole entire thing with Fisk.
Sure.
And also Fontaine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what if they did this, where it's like, okay, I'll allow this to happen since I'm a political figure, but I'm going to let them work for me. And wherever I want them placed in, that's where I want them placed in.
Mm-hmm.
What if they did it on that kind of level? It's like, okay, like on Civil War, the comic book, they have superheroes in different sections. So what if they have like you have the task force that Fisk has, but he also has the superhuman people that he gets.
Yeah.
And he puts them in different sections of New York.
You know, I mean, they could go that route. I mean, we more or less know, like, And yeah, this is so deep spoilers now. So hopefully people that listen to this have watched like Born Again. I mean, we know that like Daredevil's about to build the Defenders. Like that's what we're going to get coming, you know, in season two. I'm very curious if Fisk would move into building out his own like metahuman superhero vigilante task force, even though he's very against it. Because I think like Bullseye has it out against Fisk now. So Bullseye coming back, I feel like it's going to be one of those where like they could surprise us and have Bullseye working with Daredevil to go against Fisk, or who knows what they could do. But looking at like DeFontaine, you know, they kind of twisted at the end of this to where it puts more of a positive light on her of like banding these people together to form a new group of heroes to protect, you know, the world or whatever. But even like Yelena's kind of like, we own you now. Like she kind of like whispers that at the end, you know, she's like, you know, you're ours now. Like, so they were able to kind of use their grittiness to work against her. So I'm curious to see, like, is she just going to go along with it? Because being a political figure, I feel like with her status, it's like as long as she has free reign to get access to all these resources and do whatever, that's what she's going to do.
Right.
Unless she kind of partners with Fisk. If she sees like, oh, Fisk is building this task force and I want more control over just people, then let me work with Fisk to try to take down the Thunderbolts.
Right. That could be a good way of going about it.
Yeah. But so I am curious to see like how her role is going to change moving forward, even if she moves forward with, you know, like we're moving towards these major Avenger movies that are going to have so many characters in them. Someone like DeFontaine is not going to have such a big role. Like she may be there just to be like, oh yeah,
like a minor role.
Yeah. Like, oh, y'all are doing a great job. Keep it up. And then she leaves the room. Like that's it.
Or she gets arrested, and then after that, it becomes the Avengers that we knew.
Yeah. Or Nick Fury comes back and just like...
That's what
like,
I was gotta... thinking that was going to happen, yeah. I swear. Like, when the Avengers Tower and everything, I was just waiting for him just to show up randomly.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the blue. That,
right. Like, it's like Nick Fury or even Skrulls. We know Skrulls are still around. Like, I mean, what's going on with them? Like, it's like... We've gotten all of these little sub stories through phase five that's not really carried through, or like I've mentioned before, like we're missing stories to really fully complete this phase five, which is so crazy. But we can, you want to go into like the post credit?
We're going to go into like the final act of it.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about the final act, and then we'll get into the mid and post the post credit scene. But did you think that it stumbles in the fourth act, or did you feel like, you know, this is about confronting each other's past in order for you to move past something, to move forward? Because of the fact, mm-hmm. I was thinking to myself, and where we wind up seeing Una. She winds up confronting her past with the girl. And I was thinking, okay, is this going to be a continuous loop of her, of the person getting shot again, and therefore she has to try to confront her past. And at first she was doing that. And then after that, it goes into the next room. And then the next room after that, it has that Inception kind of vibe that I was mentioning.
Yeah, with Yelena. Yeah, so like, Yelena, I mean, I thought that was... I mean, the... Getting into the fourth act was weird. And I guess I can agree with, like, you know, we only get Sentry like in the last few minutes in the void. And it's more of like the void being brought up throughout this movie is more of like just that internal depression that we all face with. Right. Cause Yelena's whole thing is like, you know, the only way we can kind of get past this is you just got to push it down as deep as you can go. But really, this movie, it's like, you know, I think looking at just the general subject matter, you know, is really realizing, like, I need these people around me. Like, my whole life is about being alone and working alone and doing these not so good things. But she's seeing like these people around me, like I really care about them. And she knows that they care about her, especially with her dad, right? With Red Guardian.
That,
and so,
that,
yeah.
That scene with the Guardian made me tear up a little bit. There was moments where I was actually almost crying. Like,
yeah, I mean, there's tons of moments that pulls up the heartstrings. And like, I had moments where like, I could feel myself kind of getting choked up a little bit. But it just does this in such an interesting way. But I think, you know, it's just the void of like how they showcased it, I thought worked well with how they've kind of talked about things of, you know, it's just almost like this maze. You know, it's in a sense, it's like, it's just the character of Bob kind of, this is all built around like the trauma that he had as a child and kind of realized like, you know, this, you know, being in his house, he never felt safe. You know, he had to find
the safest room. This was like his safest room.
It was the safest room for him to get away from like the things that was hurting him. And so that's kind of like what the void essentially was, is like everyone is being put in this position of some point of their life that was trauma to them, even it, but as a whole, it was like some room in this house to try to like work their way through to get Bob. And you know, I thought it was kind of interesting, like they all kept wanting to go up, up, up versus going down, 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 where things got worse. You know, it's like you have to like push through the worst stuff possible to kind of get to that light or safe place or whatever.
Right. And that's what I liked about that too, was like fighting your way into the light because of the darkness that you have within your own trauma that you're dealing with. And you want to be in your safe space. You don't want to go down there because this is where you're at. And then the scene that made me tear up was when I like how the fact that you have, you know, she cares about Bob so much that she's willing to sacrifice her own life and put her life on the line. And she just hugs him because you're not alone. And all this time of him having being bipolar and him not being accepted by other people, and then having these group of people around him say, look, you're not alone. We're here for you. That touched me. And then, you know, and then after that, you find out that these are going to be the new Avengers that they're setting up. Right. And then now we're going to get into the, you know, the post credits and end credits stuff. And to anybody that is just now joining, I just want to let you know, we actually did a non-spoiler. So just and whenever you see the title, it says non-spoiler. The first half of this and the first 30 minutes is going to be non-spoilers. We're now in the spoiler section of this thing. So I don't want to cause you guys trauma and don't want to cause myself trauma by spoiling this for you. So do me a favor, watch the beginning of this and then come back to it. And I promise you, you guys are going to enjoy this review. But what I like about it is the fact that they play this whole entire meta thing with us, right? Because it's like Marvel, the people at Disney already know that there's memes about them, about how everything is so tied in with the multiverse stuff and things like that, right? And then as soon as you see the new Avengers, you see the movie ends and you see everything being played into it. Where it's like, not my Avengers, not this is not my Avenger. And then I was like, no, no, no. And then you see them playing off of us on the way we're, what the audience is thinking and all the hate that they've gotten from phase five.
Yeah, I thought that was all pretty clever. In a weird way, you lean into like Daredevil Born Again with Fisk, you know, it's kind of the same way, right? Like the whole thing in the series was like, how do people feel about Fisk? Because they know, you know, especially knowing that he's Kingpin, like, do we trust him to be this political leader for us, right? And so now it's like, you got these people of like, wait, aren't these kind of not good people? Like, do we need them protecting us or saving the world? Because that was the whole thing of like, where is this going? Is this going to be the new Avengers? Is this going to be the Dark Avengers? Because I think from the podcast, you know, we were kind of leaning towards, though, this is probably gonna, we're probably going to go into the Dark Avengers. That's what we're going to get. So, getting new Avengers is different. But even in these moments, almost think of it like Guardians of Galaxy in a way, right? Like the Guardians, because like the Guardians were never like super like good people, you know?
Right.
Like they're kind of criminals of their own. So Guardians Thunderbolts kind of vibe together in that way.
I agree. They definitely vibe together. They're like the a-holes of that galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because I like even when they mentioned it in the first Guardian of the Galaxy, what a bunch of a-holes. So this is basically our a-holes that we have on Earth.
That just live on Earth, right?
Right, and doesn't fit in with society or anything like that. They're just trying to strat up and destroy. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what that is our a-holes on Earth. And, you know, and then you have the post-credits scene, and it's the Weedy Box idea of all of them on there and stuff, and David Arbor's like, "Look, I'm on the box of the Weedies."
I love that, like, because they just like he just hypes that up so much at the beginning of the movie. He's like, "We could be that group. We could be on the cover of the Weedies box." I'm like, now I need to go out to the store and see if that actually exists. Like, are they actually
doing
that?
That'd be cool, though.
Like, I just like. Throw the cereal away and just keep the box.
That's what I would do. I'm like, let David Arbor sign the box. And
oh man, you know, like that's what everyone would do if this existed for sure.
Exactly. But I thought that was a funny post-credits scene underneath all this dark stuff that we've gotten within the movie itself. That was a great way to lighten the mood.
Yeah. Yeah. He hacked his whole beard off.
I was actually surprised by that. I was
not expecting that, because, like, I mean, when I think of Red Guardian, I'm thinking of, like, that big beard, right?
Me too. And even, what's her name, says, what's up with the old Santa?
Yeah.
As well.
That's his whole thing, yeah. He's the outfit, the vibe, like, he's just, like, this strangely jolly, you know, hero, but he's just, like, everyone forgot about me, like, I'm a nobody.
Kind of like, if you think about it, kind of like Jeremy Renner with Hawkeye. He's basically the Hawkeye of the group, where everybody just forgets about him in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I also felt, I know I'm going back a little bit, but I felt a little bit of danger whenever he was facing up against Sentry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he tosses him out the window and then he comes back and you're like, oh my gosh, are they going to kill him?
That move was, like, pretty sweet. When he did that.
But yeah, going back off the post credits.
Man. Yeah, like Sentry could have wiped any of them out. Yeah. For sure.
But okay, the end credits scene though. What did you think?
Oh man. Well, I thought it was great. And then the details that were revealed about it today just amplifies it even more. So I don't know if you saw any of that.
No, I didn't see anything, any news reports or anything. I just got back from the theater not too long ago. So what?
Oh, really? Okay. So the after credits scene that we get was directed by the Russo brothers.
Okay. Because I was going to say that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I'm interrupting, but that's what I was going to mention. It felt like it was directed by a different director with the post-credits scene.
It's essentially the beginning of Doomsday. It's basically what they said, is like the post credit scene is set in Doomsday. It's more or less part of the beginning of it. So good chance we'll see it again. But yeah.
That's pretty cool. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now we're getting the whole entire Fantastic Four in this, and then you also have David Arbor again saying, well, we are Avengers, talking about with the Z. So it's not copyrighted. But what I would like to see is, like, because everybody was wondering who's the new Avengers, who are they going to be, and stuff like that. And it'll be cool if they already got some new Avengers, and then they're like, "Well, what are you doing in the Avengers Tower?"
Right. Yeah, I am curious about how Sam feels about all of this, because the whole thing about the Avengers is a big part of Brave New World, and it's really more of him now being Captain America, like that weight that's on his shoulders of, like, you know, am I that leader? Like, what do I need to do here? But now it's like, yeah, like, how does this play into everything? Of like, okay, well, we have this new Avengers that is basically the Thunderbolts, and now we know that Fantastic Four is showing up, and then we know, like, all these other heroes that are around. So, you know, it just sets up, like, I just love this world building stuff, right?
I do too.
Because also, like, we, you know, where is, you know, Doomsday, like, how, we don't really know how far ahead we are at this time, like how many years we could be ahead, or months, even. It could be months, it could be years. So at this point, if you think of, like, the ground level stuff, like Matt Murdock's Daredevil, he's probably already formed the Defenders. So the Defenders are around too. Like,
right.
will they be a part of this as well? You know, you have this space shuttle coming to Earth. So just imagine, like, Peter Parker's sitting in college. He's on college campus and he's like, oh, whoa, what's this? Like, Doctor Strange, he's going to be in, you know, Sanctum Sanctorum, like, doing his thing.
Right, because he is part of the new Avengers team. Doctor Strange is. So is Spider-Man as well, if I'm not mistaken. Well,
we hope. Yeah. I mean, Spider-Man's also part of Daredevil's team in the comics. So
Defenders, yeah.
Where will Spider-Man kind of fall in line here? We don't know. But that's another good point. Will it be Peter Parker Spider-Man? Or could it be Miles Morales?
That would be pretty... Here's the thing. I want a live-action Miles Morales.
They've announced that project's going to come, so...
I'm hoping that we actually get it.
Did you see Sinners?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so, like, the new actor in Sinners, he's basically already trying to manifest that. He's already thrown it out there, like, I would love to be Miles Morales. Let's make it happen, so... I think all eyes are there right now.
But I want to mention this, like, when you see the Fantastic Four ship coming in.
Yeah.
And then we also see the tower, the Avengers Tower. Wouldn't it be cool if that was actually the new Fantastic Four house?
I mean, you know,
the layout of it looks like it would be.
Yeah, that could happen. You know, is it going to be like the Baxter Building? Is it going to be their tower? Like, yeah, there's a number of things that could happen there. It's like, do we know, is that the first place they're going to go?
Right. That's true.
Like, too. We don't, yeah, it's very curious of, like, where will the ship land? Who's signaling to them, right? Because they're just in the tower, just hanging out. And they're just kind of like, you know, they're kind of just vibing, like, what are we supposed to be doing?
Exactly. It's like, I like how they look at Bob.
They're all in different uniforms, too. So they've definitely gotten some upgrades. Like, we see Walker has a whole new look and a new shield. Bob's chilling with him, just being Bob.
And just reading a book. That's it.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, and they even make it a point to say that, you know, the Thunder or the new Avengers and Bob will return. So, like, what is, you know, is he going to lean into Sentry? Like, how is that going to come into play? Like, will it be more Sentry or will it be Sentry and Void?
Okay. Let me pull something up for you, though. So what if Doom knows about Void, knows about Sentry?
That's what I was just thinking.
And he goes on ahead and uses that dark side of and brings Void back. Mm-hmm. And then what if Doom is the one who's signaling the Fantastic Four? What do you think?
Yeah. Man, it could be anything. Like, I am curious. Yeah, like, I could potentially see how Doom see that in Bob to know that he's both Sentry and Void. Because even if they tried to use Bob as Sentry to fight against Doom... Mm-hmm. Doom could probably, like, turn the table, like, no problem.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess the other question is, like, yeah, like, how, you know, because we know that in the Fantastic Four movie, they're the only heroes in their, like, that's their universe, and they are the heroes. There is no one else there. And from the trailers, you know, we kind of know that we're going into a similar route that we've seen before, like Silver Surfer showing up, the planet's been marked as being destroyed or death. So is this going to be like a, you know, Superman Krypton approach to where, like, their Earth has been completely annihilated and they got out and they just know that they need to go to another universe to get help? Or is it, like you said, could it be Doom sending the signal because Doom knows that he needs to stop the Fantastic Four. That way he can achieve what he's going for.
Right. Because I could look at it like a Magneto kind of situation of like, and remember what Magneto tried to do to, what's her name, Rogue in the first X-Men movie. It could be on that kind of level with Doom, where Doom is going to try and use Sentry.
Yeah.
Get him into that void again.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that they could do. But
yeah,
it makes me that more excited now for Fantastic Four. Because before I'm like, I'm not sure about this trailer. I'm not really sold on it. It's like one noted and stuff like that when it comes down to the script for the trailer. But I'm like, I've seen bad trailers before, and some of them turn out to be good. So I'm like, I'm not going to just dictate my stuff on a 2-minute trailer and say, oh, this is going to suck. I'm going to go on ahead and be an open mind and go see it anyways. So I want to see how this gets set up. I want to see how this gets tied in with everything.
Right. Now, have you watched the new trailer, or are you avoiding it?
I got the teaser trailer, then the other trailer that dropped recently.
Okay.
So, we only had like 2 trailers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I actually watched, I watched that one and did a reaction to it.
Nice, yeah.
So, all right. Well, guys, if you guys have seen Thunderbolts, tell us what you think in the comments below. I'll be able to geek out with you also too. If you're listening to this on the audio Spotify stuff too, now they have this thing now to where I can actually comment back to you guys. And, that's what I like about Spotify now. I can actually interact with my audience versus just doing a review on Apple Podcasts and stuff. It gives me a chance to actually interact with my audience. And so if you guys want to interact with me there, a good pods or anything like that, go on ahead. Tell me what you guys think of this this movie. If you are excited about the Fantastic Four, tell me what you guys think. On Wednesday night, I'll have Rossi's going to be doing her Last of Us review. I filled in for our last Wednesday. She's going to be doing that at 9 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time and 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. Pacific Standard Time. Sorry, time zones. Then I'm going to be back doing my Superman review with Tamika. We're going to do part 3 probably Friday. We'll probably do that. I'll have to ask her about it. But yeah, that's everything over here. Go ahead and check out our trailer reactions that we've done. Check out our shorts. Check out everything. Go over to Luke's channel. Check out his podcast. Check out his YouTube channel. He does a fantastic job. He does our theater reactions as well. So is there anything else that you wanted to shout out or anything, Luke? I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. I guess we can say see you later, Phase 5. Bring on Phase 6.
Bring on Phase 6, because Phase 5 wasn't so good. So let's see how we go with Phase 6. So, guys, see you on Phase 6, and always until next time, guys. Have a great night.